And greetings to each one present here this morning. We're happy to be here, share in this service. And I was thinking about the message that God had laid on my heart. And then I come to the Sunday school lesson and said, you know what, it's just an extension of the lesson, really. And the one question, number three question in the adult quarterly was, what steps can we take to avoid defilement in a day's corrupt society? And isn't that something we're all interested in? We want to be a separate people. We want to be separate from the world and separated unto God. And how do we know when that's happening, or what gauge do we use to know if I'm being successful in that? Well, I have a little chart here that I'm going to hang up in a little bit. But sometimes you're in a store and you go out the exit door, there's right beside the door, there will be a bunch of red letters and with our numbers, that it's a height thing. And so when there's a problem and you go out the store, there's a camera watching you, and it says that man was 70 inches high. That made the problem in the store. So they know who to look for, and they see this young fellow here. They say, well, it's not him. He's only 50 inches. Or it's not this person, because... And so is there a gauge that we can use to check our own spirituality? I believe there is. And that's what we want to talk about this morning is, what kind of a Christian, what kind of a gauge do I have or am I using to check my spirituality? And this test would come to us, I believe, practically every day of our lives, mostly. And so I'm going to hang this up here. Instead of really thinking about how tall a person is, I'm looking at this chart now as to how godly a person is. We see godly up here at the top, and we see conscientious, we see passive, we see carnal. And as we face situations in life and things come to us, we respond in various ways. And sometimes our response can be downright carnal. And certainly that's not what we want. We have to be a separate people. We want to be up here where we have a godly response. And so you may open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look briefly at a few things that the Bible tells us that we respond to in one way or another. The whole Bible is actually full of instruction of things that we respond to in our lifetime and would help us determine what really is what for spirit we're of. And so we look here in Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at a number of things here, and then at the end we'll read the whole chapter. The first thing in verse 1, it says, hear the instruction, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Now, all of us have had earthly fathers, and maybe not all of us have had spiritual fathers, but we did have fathers, and that they generally, I believe, gave us some instruction. And as Dad said, now, I don't want you to go to a certain place after young people's meeting, I want you to come home. And we had a choice to make, right? And I could have said, I want to do my own thing. So where would that put me on this list? Down here, right? Or we could have said, well, what difference does it make? Or must you always be the boss? Or I could have said, he's my dad. I don't understand why he wants me to do this, but I'm going to obey him. And we have a godly response. Another thing that I believe that we find that we in our life. In verse 2, he says, "Forsake not my law." Now, the Bible is full of commandments, isn't it? There's a lot of commandments that are given to us in the Scripture. And right here's a verse that's saying, don't forsake them. Don't just say, well, what does it matter? Or who cares anyhow? But we need to respond to the things that we find. The Israelites had a lot of laws that they needed to respond to. And we have some, too. We have some direction given to us in the Scripture, quite a few directions, and we need to respond to them in a right way. The third thing that I see then in this chapter is, he says, let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. Now, today it's pretty easy to carry a cell phone along, and you can get different things on there. You can have people that are calling you or texting you, or they can pick up some music or something. But does that, he says, let thine heart retain my words. How can our heart retain God's word if we don't read it in the morning? So we have our personal devotions, we read our Bible, and we say, yeah, that's good. And do we think about it during the day? Does our heart retain the Word of God? You come here to church this morning, and you had Sunday school, you had a devotion. Does your heart retain the words of God that were given to you today? And we can say, well, yeah, you know, it's okay to, yeah, that's a good thing to read the Bible. And we think about it, but, you know, it really doesn't affect me very much. Or do we let it change our life and have a godly response? What does God see in you as relating to retaining his words that he gives to us in various means? Through the Bible, through the messages, through the brothers in the church. We need to retain the words. And then he says, keep my commandments in verse 4. Keep my commandments. Now, we're glad that we say, well, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, they were fulfilled. Jesus said, if you love God, that's more than all the commandments. And so we don't need to really obey all the Ten Commandments, although we do. But he says, keep my commandments. God has commandments for us in our lifetime, in everyday things, and things that we come up against every day. We have guidance given to us through the Scripture. And how does God view you, your life, in relation to how you keep his word? Where does he fit you in here in this schedule? Where does God fit us in relation to keeping his word in our hearts? The next thing I want to see then is in verse 5, says, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. How is that possible? How is it possible to get wisdom? I'd like to be a wise person, but how do I get wisdom? Isn't that something that maybe my dad had to be pretty smart so that I get this right thinking in my head? And we get wisdom from reading God's word, don't we? And from fellowship with others that are trying to do what's right. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. And so as we think about things in lifetime, as we go about our daily duties, are we thinking about what we read in our personal devotions? Are we thinking about the things that we heard in a meeting like this? Where do we come in, and do we enjoy the directions that, what does God see as he looks at us in relation to our life? And the sixth thing, the next thing I'd like to look at, he says in verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Thinking about wisdom and the ability to just lay it aside, forsake it, or the ability to retain wisdom. And certainly we want to be among those that retain wisdom and keep that as a guide for our life and increase in the wisdom that God has for us to be able to better our life. Now we're going to jump down to verse 13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Now when you went to school, why, their teacher would give you different instructions. This is how you figure out this problem. This is how you do this, and this is how you diagram a sentence, and this is how you do other things. And we were supposed to learn from that, and some of us did, and some of us didn't do so well at that. But this wisdom, this is the instruction that we're talking about here, is godly instruction. It's instruction that we get by coming and into services like this, by reading our Bibles and leaving the Holy Spirit speak to us. And so how does God look at your life in relation to taking instruction, in relation to gaining something from the Word of God or from a service like this, from sharing with our brothers and sisters? Do we keep that instruction? Is it going to make a difference in what you do tomorrow if you keep the instruction that you get from God? Certainly it is. And then he says, enter, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Now, there's many ways that could go about entering into the path of the wicked. We could have evil associations. We could do things that are not right. We could think things that are not right. He says, don't go there. Don't go into the path of the wicked. And so do we in our lifetime. We're faced with many choices. And I believe that it doesn't matter who we are or where we live, we are faced with choices every day. Choices, either right or wrong. And he says here, enter not into the path of the wicked. And so as we come to the crossroad in life and we see the right way and we see the wrong way, are we ready to accept the right way and follow that, the godly thing to do, or are we somewhere further down the line? And then we have, he says in the end of verse 14, go not in the way of evil men. Now, there's a lot of things that could be included in that. Go not in the way of evil men. And certainly to just think about the influence of being in the company of someone that is evil, someone that has a corrupt mind, someone that speech is not fit to listen to, someone that thinks of deeds that and want to involve you in that is not right. I'm reading through a number of books about game wardens and catching people that are poaching animals illegally and so on, and the excuses they come up with, and how they try to suck in other people to help them that have a clear record so that it don't look so bad for them. Go not in the way of evil men. Don't do that. Stay away from it. In verse 15, he says, avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, because they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is away, taken away, unless they cause some to fall. So, as you face the test in various ways of doing what's right or accompanying someone in some evil, where do we fit in? Does God see that we have a godly character, and we want to maintain that relationship with God? Moving over to verse 23, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now the heart, we find as we read in Scripture, the heart is important. God has given us a heart. We can have cold hearts or we can have warm hearts. We can have hard hearts or we can have soft hearts. We can have hearts that are ready to listen and obey God, or we can have hearts that are turned away. He says here, we keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Continue to put up your defenses against the evil. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts, your mind, your things that you allow. Keep that or guard that with all diligence. And so, and the reason, he says, because out of it are the issues of life. We guard our heart. We keep our heart with all diligence. Are we sincere in trying to do what's right and to keeping our heart in that way? As God looks upon you and he sees your performance, where does he put you in relation to keeping your heart? Are you keeping it with all diligence?
Well, then, the next one we see is in verse 24. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. I've been in the company of people already that you'd rather not hear what they were going to say. In fact, we lived in Mississippi. We had a garage door business, and every week we would have to get a load of garage doors from the supplier. And this one man, a driver, his name was Randy, and Randy loved to tell stories that weren't fit to hear. And I way soon figured this out, and, oh yeah, he says, I have something. I said, wait a minute, Randy. I said, is this something I really want to hear? Oh yeah, yeah, this one's okay, he would say. Or he'd say, oh yeah, that's right, you don't want to hear that. We need to remember to keep ourselves in the right way and to know when to cut off a relationship or a conversation or something. We want to put that away from us. And then we find one on verse 25 that says, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keeping our focus right in life. You know, you go, sometimes it's unavoidable to go to the store or something. It's part of what we do, what we need something. And you get out there and there's things that you don't really want to see. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Let your eyes look right on and your eyelids look straight before you. And when you see those things, can you mentally block them out? Can you make sure that you're looking at something else and forget about that over there? And what is our response when we see things that we'd rather not see or should not see? We need to take action on that. And then down in verse 26, he says, ponder the path of thy feet. Think about where we are going. Think about the steps that I'm taking. Where are they going to lead me to? Every step I take leads somewhere. And sometimes we need to turn around and go the other direction when we made a wrong move. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it. Every action we have in life has a consequence, either good or bad. And we want to only do that which is leading us in the right way. So we think about the way that we're going. Ponder the path of your feet and let all the ways be established. And then finally in verse 27 he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Proverbs is full of a lot of admonition, and we could have picked out more out of this chapter, but the most important thing that I want to impress upon you this morning is our response to the situations in life. our response to things that come up that we have no control over, and yet we need it affects us one way or another. So, what does God see when He looks at you in relation to the things that we talked about this morning and other things that the Bible talks about? Does He see that we have carnal hearts? Does He see that we're passive, that we say, well, what does it matter? So you can do that, but I know that's not quite the right way, but you know that I'm my own person. I need to choose for myself. Or does He see that we're godly and we want to submit to His will and His purpose in our life? Well, we could talk about a lot more things. I don't want to go too late because we want to dismiss here before long. Let's just read through this chapter and think about these things and think about God watching. How is God viewing my life in relation to all the instruction that's given here in Proverbs chapter 4? Hear ye children, instruction of the Father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, and tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. Excuse me. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Excuse me. Take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So as we go through life, let's continue to ponder the path that we're taking, the choices that we're making, and think about God in our life and that we want to do what's pleasing to Him. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven,